Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star one on your phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn today's meeting to Tom Skinner, Senior Public Affairs Officer, CDC. You may begin.
Hi, Rebecca, and thank you all for joining us today for this telebriefing on an update on this year's flu season, as well as discussions about health advisory CDC has put out regarding the potential use of antivirals this coming flu season. With us today is the Director of the CDC, Dr. Tom Frieden, who will provide some opening remarks, and then we'll get to your questions. Dr. Frieden.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. We've got some new information on influenza for this year. The flu season is beginning, and we are seeing some things that are concerning and that led us to issue a health advisory to clinicians across the country. One thing to understand about flu always is that it is unpredictable. Every season is different, with different flu viruses spreading and causing illness. So far this season, influenza A, what's called H3N2 viruses, have been detected most frequently and in almost all states. We know that in seasons when H3 viruses predominate, we tend to have seasons that are worse flu years, with more hospitalizations from flu and more deaths from influenza. Unfortunately, about half of the H3N2 viruses that we've analyzed this season are different from the H3N2 virus that's included in this year's flu vaccine. They're different enough that we're concerned that protection from vaccination against these drifted H3N2 viruses may be lower than we usually see. Most of the other viruses identified are the same as the viruses covered by the vaccine. We continue to recommend flu vaccine as the single best way to protect yourself against the flu. Vaccine will protect against the strains that are covered in the vaccine and may have some effectiveness against the drifted strain. But while vaccination is still important, I want to emphasize a second tool to fight flu and the complications that flu causes, and that is antiviral medications. Antivirals aren't a substitute for vaccination. Vaccination prevents flu, but antivirals are an important second line of defense to treat the flu. And this year, treatment with antiviral drugs is especially important, particularly for people who are at high risk of serious flu complications or for people who are very sick with flu. It's especially important to get antiviral medicines quickly if you have flu. They work best when you start them within 2 days of the beginning of flu symptoms, and we strongly recommend that if doctors suspect the flu in someone who may be severely ill from flu, they don't wait for the results of a flu test before starting antivirals. I'll say a little more about this, and then I'll answer questions along with Dr. Joe Bercy from our influenza division. Influenza activity has increased slightly in parts of the U.S., and surveillance data indicate that influenza A, H3N2 viruses, have predominated so far, with lower levels of detection of influenza B viruses and very few of the H1N1 viruses that we saw a few years ago. During the week ending November 22nd, 91% of the approximately 1,200 flu-positive tests reported to CDC were influenza A viruses, and 9% were influenza B viruses. As I noted before, of the influenza A viruses, nearly all were H3N2, and of those, about half were antigenically different from the H3N2 component of the 2014 flu vaccine. These changes can signal that the immune response provided by vaccination won't protect as well for these viruses. And there are a lot of numbers there, so let me go over them again. What we're seeing this year is largely an H3 year. About 90% of the viruses we've typed so far are H3. Of the 90%, about half are well matched with the vaccine strain, and about half are poorly matched with the vaccine strain. So for the B viruses, which are about 10%, those are well matched. For half of the 90%, they're well matched. But for the other half of the 90%, they're not well matched, and we may well see less effectiveness, although there also could be some effectiveness against influenza, even for the drifted viruses from the vaccine. The drifted viruses were first detected in March of 2014, when it was already too late to include them in this season's vaccine. At that time, the current vaccine component, the one that's covered, the H3 vaccine that is in the H3 strain that is in the vaccine, was still by far the most common of the H3N2 viruses. These viruses, both the H3 that's well matched and the H3 that's poorly matched, are likely to continue to circulate in the U.S. this season. And there is no way to predict with certainty what is going to happen. We have four different strains of flu circulating: the B strain, the H1 strain, the well-matched H3 strain, and the poorly matched H3 strain. And only time will tell which of them, if any, will predominate for the following weeks and months of this year's flu season. Flu always has the potential to be serious, but H3N2 viruses tend to be associated with more severe seasons. The rate of hospitalization and death can be twice as high or more than in flu seasons when H3 doesn't predominate. People with certain health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, and pregnancy are also at high risk. We're also noting our hospitalization for the year, and we note sadly that so far there have been 5 pediatric deaths associated with influenza. We've also heard of outbreaks in schools and in nursing homes. During some seasons when the viruses are antigenically drifted, vaccine effectiveness can be lower, but that's not always the case. If we have a severe season with H3N2 virus predominating, getting a vaccine, even if it doesn't provide as good protection as we would hope, would be more important than ever and remains the single most effective way to protect yourself against the flu. In addition, a vaccination will offer the usual protection against circulating viruses that haven't undergone antigenic drift. And in situations such as this, we continue to recommend vaccination because though it's far from perfect, it still offers us the best chance for prevention. We can't predict what will happen over the entire season. The influenza vaccine is designed to protect against 3 or 4, depending on which vaccine you get, different influenza viruses. Any of these could circulate at any time during the season. And if we have a severe season, getting a vaccine that provides even partial protection may be more important than ever. So, first, we want to urge people who haven't been vaccinated to get a vaccine now. Companies have already distributed close to 150 million doses this year. But as I mentioned earlier, antiviral treatment is particularly important this year. Many people believe that since flu is a virus, there's no treatment for it. But in fact, there are antiviral drugs that work to reduce the severity of influenza. There are 2 FDA-approved drugs recommended for use in the U.S. during this season, oseltamivir and zanamivir. Treatment with antiviral drugs works best when they're begun within 48 hours of getting sick, but they can still be helpful in some patients when given later in the course of illness. Treatment with antiviral drugs for influenza can make your illness milder and shorter. It can reduce the likelihood that you'll end up in a hospital or in an intensive care unit, and we also believe that treatment with antiviral drugs can reduce the risk of dying from influenza. Prescription antiviral drugs, however, are greatly underprescribed, particularly for people who are at very high risk of getting the flu. Probably fewer than 1 in 6 people who are severely ill with flu get antiviral drugs. Very important that we do better for people who are severely ill who could become severely ill with influenza. And that's the single most important message of this telebriefing. We need to get the message out that treating early with these drugs can make the difference between having a milder illness or a very severe illness. Time is important when it comes to treatment for influenza. Antiviral drugs are even more important when circulating viruses are different from the vaccine virus. This can mean that the vaccine is not as effective in this year as it has been in the past. And that can not only have more people coming down with severe illness, but also crowding emergency departments and hospitals. I also want to remind people that another defense against respiratory viruses such as the flu are simple things like staying home if you're sick so that you don't make other people sick. I'll conclude by reiterating that though we cannot predict what's going to happen in the rest of the flu season, it is possible that we could have a season that's more severe than most, with more hospitalizations and, tragically, more deaths. I want to urge anyone who hasn't already been vaccinated to get vaccinated. It's still our best tool to prevent influenza. I've been vaccinated, my family's been vaccinated, and if you haven't been vaccinated, please get vaccinated. Second, to encourage you, if you're sick, to talk to your doctor promptly about getting antiviral treatment, because that can help you get healthy quicker. And third, to take everyday actions like covering your cough and staying home if you're sick. And with that, I'll stop and we'll open for questions.
Hi, Rebecca. We're ready for questions, please.
Thank you. And we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. Just remember to say your name and please unmute your microphone. Our first question comes from Lethan Winnick from CBS News. Your line is open.
Oh, sorry, that was a mistake. I didn't have one.
Okay. Our next question comes from Evan Brown with Fox News Radio. Your line's open.
Thank you. Good morning, Dr. Frieden. Thank you for doing this. Some years back when we had the H1N1 swine flu issue, manufacturers of vaccine were willing to come out with separate vaccines for H1N1, if I remember, and to include H1N1 in the general vaccine going forward. Has there been any, has been the result of any communications that the CDC may have had with the drug makers regarding vaccine and getting people vaccinated against this strain? Or is it too far in the season to make that happen?
Right. During the H1N pandemic, by April, we had the vaccine and could begin production. Here, we only saw this drifted strain become common in September, by which time the vaccine was already out. Even with the newer vaccine technology of cell-based production, it takes about 4 months to make the vaccine. So essentially, the flu change was too late for the vaccine to be changed.
Next question, Rebecca.
Our next question comes from Liz Zabo, USA Today. Your line's open.
Thanks. I've seen some data from Mike Osterholm and others showing that there really isn't a correlation between the match of the vaccine and the virus and its effectiveness. Do we need a better measure of the vaccine effectiveness?
Each year we do studies to measure the effectiveness of the vaccine, we find variability in how effective the vaccine is. They're not easy studies to do because we don't always have the tracking of each patient who has flu vaccine. But the bottom line is that the flu vaccine is our best tool for prevention, that the effectiveness of the flu vaccine does tend to vary year to year, and that the drift that we're seeing may indicate that it may be less effective this year, and that's why we think that it's particularly important that people who are very sick or at risk of becoming very sick get antiviral drugs, Tamiflu, promptly. I'd like to turn the question over for more a longer answer or more in-depth answer to Dr. Joe Brassey.
Yeah, this is Dr. Joe Brzee, B-R-E-S-E-E, and I completely agree with what Dr. Frieden said. I think that it's clear that the laboratory tests we're using to understand how closely related this virus is to the vaccine viruses are good, but they're imperfect markers of how well the vaccine will function in the field. We'll know that soon. We do studies every year in the field to measure the real-life effectiveness of how well these vaccines work in the field. We'll have that data sometime in the middle of the season, so we'll know the answer to this. But you're right to an extent that these aren't perfect markers of what to expect in terms of how well the vaccine worked, but they are related to how well the vaccine worked. And we just, as a note of caution, once we saw these drifted strains, these strains that looked somewhat different than the vaccine strain, we wanted to make sure that people knew and make sure that people knew the tools like antivirals they had to mitigate the disease of flu.
Next question, Rebecca.
Dan Childs.
Our next question comes from Dan Childs with ABC News. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking my question. With regard to the antivirals, we've seen in past years that sometimes stocks have been somewhat depleted, that there haven't been necessarily enough. Will they be sufficient this year? And what, if anything, is the CDC doing now to ramp up production?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is Joe Brzee again. We're not aware of any shortages now, and we expect to have enough antivirals to meet the demand this year. Occasionally, because the pediatric formulations, the suspensions, are in short supply, we may have shortages in that, and we sometimes do, but we have ways to get around that by taking the capsules and making them into a formulation that you can provide children. And there's directions for that on the CDC website.
Next question, Rebecca.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Caitlin McCabe with Wall Street Journal.
Hi, thank you. I just had a question. Can you give an update about the shortage and production delays of the vaccine itself? That was a problem earlier this year.
No, we other than spot shortages in individual areas were short-lived early in the season, we have not heard of widespread shortages. We think there's ample vaccine out there. 145 million doses have been distributed by manufacturers, and that should be sufficient for the demand.
That's exactly right. No, nothing to add.
Next question, Rebecca.
And we have Mike Stobe with the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking a couple questions. First, just for clarification, you talked about antigenic drift, the H3N2 that's 52% of the samples showing positive for antigenic drift. Are you talking about a type of an H3N2 that has been seen before but just happened to be the one that's most common at the moment, or is this a new type of H3N2 that we hadn't seen before? Also, could you say just a little bit more about, you said 1 in 6 severely ill people get antivirals. Why is it that low, do you think? And I'm sorry, one more. At ACIP in October, there was presentation of information that the H1N1 flu mist may not be effective in children. You talked about the flu vaccine being well matched to the other strains, but there's that information there about flu mist maybe not as effective against H1N1 this year. Could you incorporate that in your overview?
Thanks. First, the drifted strains, and as those of you who cover flu regularly know, we talk about shift and drift, with shift being bigger changes and drift being smaller changes. This is an example of drift. In March, I believe the first 3 strains drifted in this way were identified, and it wasn't until over the summer, then September, that we saw them in significant numbers. So this is not something that's been around before. It is, as we see, that unpredictability of influenza with new strains coming up, possibly as a result of vaccination, where they're escaping the immunity that is being developed. In terms of antiviral use, there are many reasons why it's not used as commonly as it should be used. One of the issues is a misconception that you have to test for it first. In fact, many of the tests can have some false negatives, and we strongly encourage doctors not to wait for a test, but to treat if it's indicated to treat. I think it's just a pattern of prescribing that it's not familiar to doctors. to use antivirals for influenza. The benefit is not as marked as the benefit for some bacterial infections, where you can see a very gratifying resolution of an infection that otherwise would have progressed. To show the benefit, it essentially is about a day less of severe illness, and that results in a reduced risk in hospitalization and most likely of death as well. In terms of flu mist, we believe that flu mist is likely to be effective against the matched strain this year. We continue to recommend it. There was, as you note, an analysis of one subgroup that suggested that it may have been less effective against H1 last year. H1 is not prominent this year, but we're working closely with researchers around the country as well as with the company to try to understand whether that's in fact what happened, and if so, why. Dr. Brassey, would you like to add to that, please?
I'll just say that in response to the investigation into why the live attenuated, the nasal spray vaccine, worked less well against the H1 than we expected, there has been lots of evaluations, but for now the CDC policy remains the same, that children 2 to 8 years old should receive the nasal spray live attenuated vaccine if it's available when they go to the doctor. We want to make sure that when kids show up to the doctor and the nasal spray is not available, go ahead and get shot. Go ahead and get vaccinated with the vaccine, and don't wait and don't try to come back for the nasal spray when it's available.
And one other reason why we see low rates of treatment is that unfortunately people wait to see the doctor. If you're high risk, if you've got lung disease or heart disease, emphysema or diabetes, and you get symptoms, please contact your doctor right away. I will also say that many healthcare systems have increased the availability of antivirals using nurse call lines as a way of patients calling in, not having to come into the office and getting assessed over the phone, and then if it's appropriate, getting prescribed and being able to pick up antiviral medication that may keep them out of the hospital.
Next question, Rebecca.
Our next question comes from Julie Sandhuisen with Reuters. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Dr. Frieden, I'm just curious. I know that you're recommending antivirals, and of course you want to use every weapon you have to treat flu, but I'm wondering what you think about the Cochrane Review study. I think it was in April that suggested antivirals are not very effective when it comes to, preventing hospitalizations from flu. Now, how do you balance that? Thanks.
Now, we've looked in detail at the data on oseltamivir. We've looked at both the published and the unpublished data. We've looked at the full data sets. And it is the opinion of the CDC scientists that the evidence is strong that oseltamivir given early in the course of illness will reduce the length of illness by about a day. It is not a miracle drug, but we believe it is an effective drug. And we think that there are some methodological issues with that review relating to what are some of the outcomes that were looked at, what are some of the sample sizes, what's the data included. There was some concern that not all data had been shared by the company. We have looked at a broad swath of data available, and we see a consistency of the data that does indicate to us that there is some efficacy of these drugs. Again, they're not perfect. We wish we had better drugs. We wish we had a better vaccine. But right now, the best way to protect yourself against flu is to get a vaccine. The best way to reduce the length of your illness is antiviral drugs, and the best way to protect other people is not to go out when you're sick.
Next question, Rebecca.
Next question, Donna Young, Scripps News.
Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering why, if you'd started seeing this significantly in September, you waited into December to make this information available. And then also, are you concerned that because you put out this notice last night or late yesterday that that the headlines got ahead of your message today? Thank you.
So we have been providing this information all along through the MMWR and through FluView. Dr. Brzee will go into more details.
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. We've been tracking it closely since it emerged in March. In September, we published an MMWR, which sort of wraps up our summer season, and we mentioned this prominently in that MMWR that we're seeing it. And during that May to September period, globally, it accounted for about 50% of the H3 viruses that were looked at globally. There weren't that many viruses still at that time in the United States, and it really isn't until now, when we're starting to see more flu activity in the United States, that we're seeing a lot of these viruses. And so up until now, there's been so little activity, it was hard to say whether this virus was going to be of public health importance or not. I think now, with the increasing cases of flu, and that this virus is maintaining a presence and maintaining a prevalence in the United States, we felt it necessary to come out and talk about it a little bit, because we think that antivirals offers a fantastic way to mitigate the disease that you might get from it.
Next question, Rebecca?
Our next question comes from Robert Lowes with Medscape Medical News. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. I have two. One, for the 2013-2014 flu season, do you have any figure for the effectiveness of the seasonal flu vaccine? Do you have a percentage level of effectiveness? And second, there was a MMWR report recently talking about an outbreak of this H3 flu virus aboard a naval ship, and 99% of the sailors had been vaccinated, but one-fourth of them came down with the flu. Is this an example of the problem with the vaccine being unable to cope very well with the drifted H3 virus strain?
Yeah, good questions. Thank you. So first, the effectiveness question. We presented data a couple of times over the summer that looked at last year's vaccine and how effective it was. And as usual, it was about 50 to 55% effective overall in the United States last year, the vaccine was. We'll come out next week as a teaser. We'll come out next week with an MWR that describes what health impact the vaccination program last year had in terms of averted cases, hospitalizations, and clinic visits. So pay attention to this space next week. The outbreak you're talking about in the naval ship last year was actually an H3 outbreak, as you said, but was not this H3 virus. Was a previous H3 virus, the one that was dominant last year. We do see outbreaks of viruses like influenza on cruise ships, on ships with closed spaces. So many people are crammed there together in close contact, so it's easy to spread viruses, even among a highly vaccinated population. But that was a useful outbreak investigation. It highlighted the importance of flu in naval ships and cruise ships, and the importance of using antivirals again in contexts like that to slow the spread.
Next question, Rebecca.
Next question, Michael Smith, MedPage Today. Your line's open.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Frieden, you said there have already been 5 pediatric deaths. Two quick questions about that. One, can you put that in context? Is that high or low for this time period? And then secondly, do you have any, are they linked with the drifted H3 N2, do you know that information?
I'll let Dr. Brzee give more details, but each year of the pediatric deaths, we generally find that about 90% of the kids had not been vaccinated. So we really do emphasize vaccination as the most important preventive tool for influenza. In terms of the 5 specific cases, Dr. Brzee will give more information.
And so the five children who have been known to die from flu so far this year, 4 of them were infected with influenza A viruses. 3 of those we've confirmed are H3 viruses. 1 of them died with influenza B virus. We don't know if the H3N2 viruses the 3 children had when they died was this virus, was the drifted virus, or was the other virus.
So I'll just thank everyone for joining us. Let me wrap up by emphasizing that flu is unpredictable, but what we've seen so far this year is concerning for two reasons. First, that it is likely to be, so far, an H3 predominant season, though that could change. And H3 predominant seasons tend to have more hospitalizations and more deaths. And second, that so far, about half of the H3 strains have been drifted, and there may be a lower effectiveness of the vaccine. It's still essential to get vaccinated. Vaccine is the most effective way of preventing influenza, but we're especially recommending this year that people who are severely ill or people who may become severely ill because you've got diabetes or lung disease or heart disease or asthma or pregnancy, see your doctor promptly if you have cough, fever, symptoms of flu, and ask about prompt treatment with antiviral drugs. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. This concludes our call. Reporters needing additional information can call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for attending today's conference. You may now disconnect.